I was just thinking while the choir was singing, would it be in order if I say after 25 years in America, I'm proud to be an American? Our scripture reading, the first book in the Bible, Genesis 28, verses 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and camped for the night since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there, set it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground and it reached all the way to the sky. Angels of God were going up and going down on it. And then God was right before him saying, I am God. The God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving the ground on which you are sleeping to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from west to east and from north to south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and your descendants. Yes, I'll stay with you. I'll protect you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this very ground. I'll stick with you until I've done everything I promised you. Jacob woke up from his sleep and he said, God is in this place truly, and I didn't even know it. He was terrified. He whispered in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob was up first thing in the morning. And he took the stone he had used for his pillow and stood it up as a memorial pillar and poured oil over it. And he christened the place Bethel, meaning God's house. The name of the town had been Luz until then. And then, moving to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. I think all of us as Christians grew up with this verse. Jesus saying through the author of John in Revelation, look at me, I stand at the door, I knock. And if you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Here ends our scripture reading. Praise be to God. I have a personal question for all of us. Do you ever talk about your faith? No, I didn't say that you, do you ever talk about your church? I know you do. The question was, do you ever talk about your faith? Not about the teachings of this church or any other church. But do you ever talk about your faith, about your personal faith, your relationship, and your experiences with God? Well, as you heard earlier on, there is currently a conversation going on in our church where we intentionally talk about the reality of God, where we share the stories of our personal faith and our experiences with God, and seriously think about these matters. Many of those present, have vivid memories of the times in our lives when we were overwhelmingly conscious that God was present. When our faith became a visible reality. And we decided that talking about God is not as out of bounds as many people seem to think. You know, there's a saying, you should never discuss religion and politics because you just make enemies. That may be true. But I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about God. There's a difference. A living relationship with God is possible. It is real. And it can be life-changing, no matter whom we are or where we are on life's journey. God is still speaking. And we so much desire to share in the discussion, to listen for the speaking God, to learn, to respond, and to truly live. We just read a biblical passage that illustrates the reality of God, not only in our times, but also since the beginning of time. Jacob slept. His head was resting on a stone. He had a vision that he would become the father of many offspring and that God would bless him and make him the father of a great nation. Now, it sounds all very good, but one has to know and understand who this Jacob really was before you can really appreciate the story of him, of all people, hearing God speaking to him kindly, yes, in a dream. Why? Well, those of you who remember the biblical story will know why. Because Jacob was a real scoundrel. He could resist everything except temptation. He certainly believed that the best way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. No doubt, Jacob was shrewd. Do you remember how Jacob, the same Jacob, deceived his old, nearly blind father Isaac into giving him the blessing meant for his older brother Esau? So, in reality, Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright. And Esau was angry and threatened to kill his brother. Esau sought revenge, and that's why Jacob fled into the hills for his very life. And there, away from it all, under a starry night, the unexpected happened. We don't know exactly how it happened, but somehow Jacob sensed that he was not alone. He sensed that there was a presence bigger, wider than he ever imagined. And even there, in the quiet desert, he sensed the presence of God. Now, sometimes we do encounter God at unlikely times in our lives and at unlikely places. This Jacob story, he was a fugitive running away, came to a certain place, stayed there for the night. He was uncertain what would happen next. His own brother wanted to kill him. And finally, something happened. He took a stone and used it for a pillow. And the next morning, the pillow of the night became a monument to the presence of God. Jacob might have been asleep when he heard the words, "The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring." Yeah, he may have been asleep, but I promise you, moments afterwards, he was wide awake and he responded. Just listen now. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And Jacob, suddenly, for the first time in his life, everything fell into place. He could hide from his brother, but there was no way to get away from his God. And he exclaimed, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." The place where Jacob spent the night was a special place, and would always be a special place, because it was exactly there where he had encountered God. That's where he built an altar. That's where he first called the place Bethel, house of God. For Jacob, God was there. And nothing would ever change that again. How did he respond? The scoundrel, the thief, was now worshipping, was now praising God. And I think that's why some of us are here in church today. It's not a coincidence. Many of us came on purpose because we wanted to be here, we needed to be here. Why? Because somewhere along our life's journey, we know that God has revealed God's self to us. Something happened somewhere in our past where we became aware that God is alive, that God is reality, and that God is still speaking. So we come to church and worship in heart and spirit to affirm the relationship that we have with God. And sometimes, though, it is not easy to express what we feel. Many people have the tendency not to show their emotion, and they tend to hold back not just a little. What the thing about us as Westerners, we can be so quiet, so well behaved in church. Too well behaved. Give you a cup of coffee and cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. But in church, something happens. And we hold it back, we hold it down. Brother, sister in Christ, in the presence of a living God, we cannot be dead. We need to be aware, we need to be conscious, and in church is the one place where we have the moment, the opportunity to commune with God, with one another. So let us not be all that inhibited. As long as I'm your minister, please know that you are free to express your feelings during worship. Now, don't get too rowdy. Because with the passing of the years, it does happen that the poor minister has to concentrate like it wasn't necessary before, just to keep everything together. But do you know what it means when one becomes aware of a presence? Sometimes an exclamation, "Amen," says it all. Many years ago, Tinka and I had a black congregation in South Africa. It was long before my ordination even. The university where we were, on Wednesday evenings, we started a church, a black church. And why black church? Because we lived in the apartheid era. Why not on Sunday? Because we wouldn't get black people there at all, because they had to serve the white people. So we did it on Wednesday evenings. And we still tell many a story of how those people worshipped in spirit, in truth, and reality. But one thing that I will never forget, it often happened while I preached to them that somebody would suddenly exclaim, "Morena!" You know what that is? It's a name for God. It's a name for God. At the moment when you hear "Morena," then you know there is worship in that place. Something is happening. Something is transforming them. And a little personal note. That's, you know what they called me? Maruti. That's what they call a messenger of God in Africa. Maruti. And today, when I think back, it's with nostalgia. Because I remember the moments when those people who had not much possessions of their own, many of them impoverished, when they were there transformed because they realized that they were close to God. Unforgettable. Sometimes, I'm sure all of us have expressed our deepest feelings, where we just couldn't help it, where we just bubbled over. Oh Lord, my God, how great Thou art. The moment when you and I realize we're not alone. We are not deserted. We are God's people. And God is with us. Do you still have that feeling? Do you sometimes seek the silence just to be able to listen to the voice of God? One evening, story, at the conclusion of a performance of Handel's Messiah, there was a little girl seated in the huge church that captivated the attention of the audience. This true story, because in Europe, we also do it in this country, but not so regularly as in Europe, whenever the Hallelujah chorus is heard, people would stand up. They never take it seated down. And that happened that evening in the sanctuary when the Hallelujah chorus was sung, everybody stood up. And you know the beautiful, beautiful chorus. At the height of all that, there was a little girl moved by what she was experiencing, and she was standing on one of the pews, and her little voice came through, Hallelujah! Really happened. The one who wrote about the incident said she was off key, but her praise came with so much emotion that it was a living lesson in authenticity for each and every one present. That was a true act of worship. Have you got a Hallelujah experience to record? I know you have. We just don't talk about it enough. A moment where you were so aware that God is there, that you stumbled in God's presence, struck with awe and wonder. I've seen people having similar experiences, even in their darkest moments. I've seen many a deathbed transformed into joy when a brother or sister sensed that God was with them and that they need not fear. How precious it is when people who have lived a full life, when they no longer fear death, when they don't think it's a horrible thing that's awaiting, it's just round the corner, and oh, it's so terrible. Oh no, our lives can be crowned with glory, because that is how life is. We are here on planet Earth with just so many years, and no one is going to get off this planet alive. I promise you that. But remember, God was, and God is, and God will ever be. So fear not, even when the shadows fall. Your light and my light may shine. I've seen people celebrating God on their deathbed in such a way that those around the bed were so touched and so aware that that dying person is not alone. God has appeared in person. Oh, may you and I, when our earthly sun goes under, may we sense the presence of God, so that we can move from one reality to the next. He lives. He lives. Our God is alive. Remember as a kid, 15 years old, moment in Pretoria, just outside Pretoria, the evening, for the first time consciously saying, I accept Thee as my Lord and Savior. Just a few months ago, I visited the place. So many years have gone by since 1952. But there was the spot where I first saw God, sensed God. He was always there. I just wasn't there for God before that. And although I failed my God many times since then, my God has never, not even once, failed me. You know, that's the same thing that happened with the New Testament tax collector, with Zacchaeus. We don't know the full story. It is just told, it comes through us through the mists of time. But we know that this Zacchaeus got in touch with Jesus and they disappeared into a room. And this sinner, something happened because behind closed doors, he became aware of the presence of God in such a powerful way that he's old life ended and he was reborn in the knowledge that he was in the presence of God. It's a story of a poor sinner whose life was never the same after his hallelujah experience, after the moment when he first sensed the reality of God. So in the middle of nowhere, Jacob had such a God experience, an encounter with the living God. And his only response was, "This is the house of God." From that moment, nothing was ever the same again. Before Bethel, Jacob deceived his father and cheated his brother out of what lawfully was Esau's. In reality, Jacob was nothing but a crook before. But that moment, his transformation began. And he became a father of the nations. Because since God entered his life in a conscious way, he just couldn't be the old Jacob no more. Since that moment, he was a new and a different person. Oh yes, we don't change just like that and from bad to good or anything like that. But there is a contact moment with God. And from that moment on, a transformation begins in our hearts and in our lives. And it grows and grows as we become aware of the reality of God. Oh, God is still speaking. He spoke always. I just never listened. And now God is speaking and we understand and we hear and we live and we grow. Is it still true? Is it true today? Can God's power touch and move you and me in such a way that the same transforming power can be unleashed in our midst? Is it possible that somebody can listen to me right here and now in this church and become aware of the presence of God, not of a preacher, not of a beautiful hymn, but of the presence of the living God to say, "I've been faithfully waiting for you, my child. Can you hear me now?" Can it still happen? I can tell you that great deeds are being done, enormous changes are coming about whenever ordinary people like you and me respond to God's presence in our lives. Like Jacob, you and I can also have our experiences with God. There is the sad saying, God often visits us, but most of the time we're not in. God often makes a telephone call to us. We just never lift the receiver and bring it to our ear. Is it not time for us to not only say God is still speaking in a slogan-like fashion, but also to add, God is still speaking and I am listening. I am listening with all my heart. The place where Jacob spent the night had his dream became a holy place for him. At that unlikely place and unlikely time, he listened to God's voice, and since that night, that moment, that experience with God would direct his faith and inspire him till the last days on earth. Faithful follower of God, you who have listened to the voice, no matter when the shadows fall, you shall never, never walk alone. It's so much later that John on the island of Patmos, that he had a similar God experience. We do not know exactly what happened, what made him write this, but we do know that it was written in a period of severe stress in his own life. And something happened with John. And later he wrote that it was Jesus saying, "Look at me. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you." Do you know? You know the picture? I do. In grandmother's house, we had one in South Africa. Wherever we went to visit, I remember it so well. That familiar picture, it's all over the world, of the big wooden door, and with a depiction of Jesus standing, knocking on the door. And the only important thing, it's only a depiction, but the only important thing is that door doesn't have a knob on the outside. It's on the inside. And today may just have been another knock on the door of your life. But remember, God won't turn the knob and force his way into your life. The knob is on the inside. You have to open up. You have to welcome him in. Open the door. And this day may become the day that you will remember as the most important, maybe as the first of your lasting, conscious relationship with God. Where God leads me, I will follow. Where God leads me, I will follow. I'll go with God to the end, the very end. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, here we are, your children, gathered with others who seek the inspiration of worship, the sense of your presence, and to plead that your Spirit will guide, touch, and change us this very day. We together in the beauty and quiet of this sanctuary, we brought our confusion, our loneliness in a busy world. We brought our sense of guilt, seeking to overcome the distance that we created between you and us. We seek you with all our heart. Let your forgiveness, wisdom, and the power of your Holy Spirit fill our often so empty lives. Speak to us today, speak to us now, and prepare our hearts for healing from their deafness as we seek to hear and to respond to your voice. We pray for those here and across the world who are grieving, suffering, and are desperate for a hand to hold. O God, through Jesus our Lord, hear our prayers and help us to speak your love in many ways to those who cross our way. Grant us too, we pray, the courage to be healers in this world, agents of your grace in every situation of our lives and in every contact we have. Unleash in us the power of faith. O still speaking God, speak to us today as we listen and seek your will and your presence in our lives. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.